It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hi there, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw where David had just left the tent of King Saul, where Saul and all of his men are in an unnatural sleep sent by God. And David left carrying Saul's spear and his water jug to show that he was there. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 13 through 25. Then David went over to the other side and stood far off on the top of the hill with a great space between them. And David called to the army and to Abner, the son of Ner, "Will you not answer, Abner?" Then Abner answered, "Who are you who calls to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? Who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy the king your lord. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not kept watch over your lord, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the jar of water that was at his head." Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Why does my lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is on my hands? Now therefore let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred you up against me, may he accept an offering. But if it is men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day, that I should have no share in the heritage of the Lord, saying, 'Go, serve other gods.' Now, therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea, like one who hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly and have made a great mistake." And David answered and said, "Here is the spear, O king. Let one of the young men come over and take it. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put my hand against the Lord's anointed. Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me out of all tribulation." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be you, my son David. You will do many things and will succeed in them." So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now, isn't it interesting how David approaches this here? First of all, he goes off a distance so he's safe, and then he calls out. And who does he call to? Not to Saul, but to Abner, Saul's general. Do you see David drawing the attention to the fact that the one who Saul trusted to keep him safe, himself and Abner, weren't equipped for the job? That David could get this close to Saul and to Abner without any interference. Not because David was so stealthy, but because David had placed his trust for his safety and well-being in the only one who could truly protect him, God. David calls out to Abner, though, and asks why he didn't protect Saul. Now, we know that God caused them to fall into a sleep, but it appears that there wasn't even a guard posted to watch over Saul. Also, David says that one entered intending to destroy the king, and that was correct. David didn't enter with the intention of hurting Saul, but Abishai did. He wants them to realize that God is in control, not men, and Abner and his men do deserve death for failing to keep better watch over Saul. Saul recognizes David's voice. He knows who is taunting Abner. David's immediate reply to Saul echoes his questions in the cave. "Why are you hunting me? What have I done?" I love that David brings God into it too. He reminds Saul that God is the one in control, and says if God has incited Saul against David, which we know isn't true, then let David deal with it with God. David will offer a sacrifice and pray for God's forgiveness. However, since we all know that God isn't upset with David, he's upset with Saul. David then offers a second explanation for Saul to grab hold of. Perhaps Saul's being incited against David by other men. Again, not the case. Saul is the one who is driving this particular machine. He's the one who has it out for David, not anyone else. Saul himself is the one trying to force David out of his inheritance. David also tells Saul that by pushing him out of the temple and out of the land of God's people, he is being forced by them to be amidst an idolatrous people, surrounded by temptation to serve those other gods. If David is kept from serving those idols, it will be despite what Saul has done, and with no thanks to Saul, it will be God who will keep David from worshiping the false gods. David is being excluded from fellowship with God's people, and he is excluded from living at peace in the land the Lord has given them as well. And all of this because of Saul. Yet David honors God by refusing to harm Saul. It's not because of what a nice guy Saul is, or even David's own emotions towards Saul that prevents him from harming Saul. David is obeying God here, and he's doing so willingly and without remorse. And Saul is making a fool of himself in his hunt for David. His fanatical pursuit of David, the innocent and undesigning man, is reaching new heights of the ridiculous, especially when David refuses to harm Saul, even when he had every opportunity. Truly, the analogy David uses here is apt. Saul is distracted to insanity by David, who is like a flea comparatively. I mean, picture what David is saying here. Saul has dragged out his army to hunt down a tiny insect who isn't even actually injuring him, but is just the source of that little itch that won't go away. It's like getting out a nuke to kill a fly, unnecessary to the extreme. Once more, David's appeal pricks Saul's conscience, and Saul apologizes. He actually acknowledges his sin, and he even makes a veiled reference to the knowledge that God will make David king after Saul. Saul blesses David. That part sort of makes me sad. Part of Saul somewhere knows that what he's doing is horrifyingly wrong. He knows that he's sinning, yet he's unwilling to really stop himself. That's so sad to me, because he sees his sin, he sees what he's doing wrong, but he continues to do wrong. It's like Saul has these moments of lucidity where he comes out of the fog of sin that he's in, only to plunge back into it a moment later. But on those moments when he comes out of it, my heart grieves for Saul, because clearly he did know that there was another choice. But Saul never did want to make the choice to do God's will enough to override his own selfish desires. And that's the saddest part. He knew what he needed to do, but he didn't want God enough to allow him to work in Saul's heart. He didn't want the creator of the universe as much as he wanted stuff. Now, God doesn't strike Saul down dead right this second. This wasn't like Nabal. There was more to this than we can truly understand. God works in his way and in his time. We are expected to obey and do what God wants us to do, even when it doesn't make sense to us. David may have been wondering why God didn't strike Saul down like he did Nabal, but we have no record of David questioning God on this. David continues to do what God wants him to do, regardless of Saul's actions. What about you today? Do you continue to do what you know God wants you to do, even when given the opportunity to sin and maybe even sin and get away with it? It may not be something as obvious as David's situation, where he was practically handed his enemy on a platter and no one would have blamed him if he'd done away with that enemy. But what about telling the truth? There are times when telling the truth is anything but convenient. You know that when you tell the truth, either you will be cast in a poor light, or you may even face a consequence that you'd rather not have. So you lie instead of telling the truth. You may even get away with it. But do we ever actually get away with it? God always knows what we're doing. He knows our thoughts before we have them. We all have to battle our flesh every day to hold tight to God's hand and to trust in the Spirit as it leads us in the paths we should go. It's not easy. Sometimes it's downright hard. Sometimes it's so hard that you don't know how to take the next step. But it is always for our benefit and for His glory when we do what He has called us to do instead of following the desires of our flesh. May we all cling to Him today, and may we continue to allow His perfecting work in our lives as He uproots the sin from our hearts and draws us nearer to Him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.